to Keldabe Talk Radio, the official podcast of the Mandalorian Mercs. We're a costume organization dedicated to charity efforts around the globe, attending events in Mandalorian armor we've built by hand. Here on the show, we'll keep you up to date with the latest fan community news. Visit our website at www.mandalorianmercs.com.
Hello and welcome to this month's episode of Keldabe Talk Radio, the first episode of 2014. I am Crow, and with me on this edition is Frost.
Hey, hi.
Pinocchio.
Hey, how you doing?
And Tobias Creed.
And I'm always introduced last.
Well, you're the only one who has two names.
Oh.
Everyone else who does this podcast is mononymous. That's all we got.
That's my hello, by the way, me complaining about being last. Anyway, yo.
Yo. And starting off with some Mercs news.
Mandalorian Mercs news!
We have a few big news items. First thing first, the Mercs have a new personnel officer. Congrats to Ulrich Cantier. He's taking over for Zugte.
Zugte did a good job.
She did.
Yes, she did.
If I remember
big
right.
Big shoes to fill.
Yeah, yep. Big shoes to fill. Big crusadery shoes to fill.
Made out of bone and leather.
Yes.
With vents.
A lot of work. Masks.
But yes, it is a lot of work and good luck, buddy. You're going to need it. It's not an easy job, but it is a job that needs to be done.
Yes.
And it seems like he's taking the reins pretty good. It's like, I'm in Rusler training right now, and like he just picked up on it without kind of, you know, hesitating. So I think he's getting in there pretty quickly.
Yeah, he seems to have just stepped right in and gone to work, which is what you have to do with that job.
Oh, yeah.
So hats off to him.
Good stuff.
Yes, very good stuff.
Let's see, we also have, this past month, we've had two new members to the Order of the Ramcad. We had Bubba D. Fett and Cora, both awarded for pretty much reuniting a clan, essentially. Okay, so yeah, they reunited the Washington clan into what is now Oceanhawk clan. I don't know a whole lot of the details of the split. With the efforts of those two, it is now one big, happy clan.
Clannily.
Yeah. Clannily. Could say family, could say clan. They really mean the same thing in the Mandalorian context, so...
True.
You know. And in other news...
Star Wars news!
We have had some updates about the upcoming Star Wars Rebels. Namely, the introduction of a new character, an astromech droid. I kid you not, named Chopper. Who is an amalgamation of a bunch of other astromech droids.
His name is Chopper. He has little hands that come out of his head. And he's grumpy. Because he's like all chopped up and put back together like a chopper. They call him Chopper. Whatever. Yeah.
I mean, it's... I understand that they want to release new stuff and keep us interested in everything, but, I mean, to go from a Sith Inquisitor to an angry pile of junk, I don't know how interested I am.
I'm
guessing it'd be like something for R2 to interact with, because I mean, because
yeah, you know he's
like,
you know he's gonna be in it.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, no matter how much they're saying this is not gonna be about a lot of face characters, you know it is.
There's gonna be a cameo, and they're gonna have the awkward mission together. You know, and they're not going to like each other, but they got to learn to get along, I'll bet. Yeah.
So yeah, most of the last season of Clone Wars just done over again.
The animation, from what I've seen, it looks so much like Clone Wars. Why didn't they just do another season of Clone Wars?
Well, they are.
Because
they're just
Disney.
Calling it Star Wars Rebels.
Okay.
Pretty much. It's almost like Disney has decided to create a new show for their own private network out of a show that already existed, but they wanted to rebrand it so that it would be something exclusive to their network to generate more interest. It's almost like that.
It's almost like they're an entertainment company and they do stuff like that.
Yeah, it's almost like they hired people to work for them so they could make money.
I know, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's like it's
almost like capitalism.
Yeah. And it's almost like we're all going to watch it because, deep down you want it.
To be fair, I'll watch it off of less than legal sources because I don't want to give Disney any money for ads. But
you will watch it.
But I will watch it, and that pains my soul.
And then you'll tell people that you watched it.
Because at the end of the day, Star Wars owns us.
It does. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you're dressed up.
Yeah, you can't see it, but we're all just smiling ear to ear, goofy as can be, and you never know it.
Yep.
Yeah, so the next time you see Boba Fett getting pitched off into the Sarlacc, remember he's got a goofy smile on.
That's right.
Big old goofy smile.
He's just happy to be there.
I'm going to go to conventions for the rest of my life.
Someone finally loves me.
Oh, God.
It's what we do, folks.
We
actually love Jeremy Bullock. He's pretty much...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Jeremy Bullock rules.
Yes, he is the nicest...
Creature to grace us with his presence.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty funny, too.
He's
a riot.
Anyways. But, additionally... they've said that Star Wars Rebels is supposed to be less about main characters, i.e. they're going to try and stay away from Obi-Wan and Anakin as much, because they were main fixtures of the previous series. But I'm not sure how well they're going to be able to do that, especially seeing as they're going to be trying to introduce it to a completely new audience, since most of the people who get Disney DVX Peak DQ etc. Are not going to be the same people who are watching it on Cartoon Network.
Right.
And it's probably mostly going to get most of its viewership online, because my understanding is they're going to make it viewable online the next day.
It's like anything else, it's just going to depend on the writing.
Yeah, it's really going to depend upon the writing and whether or not it can actually target the people who... Because the Clone Wars was originally designed to target like 12-year-olds,
right?
And then as the show went on, they upgraded the writing as the viewership upgraded, and got older and smarter. And eventually, that's why among also the TV show matriculating and figuring out what it was going to do as it matured. So I'm not so sure what's going to go on with Rebels, but Rebels may be restarting the process. So we may be looking at another 2 years of sort of kiddie plots.
And
or,
then they realize that their demographic is 33.
Right.
Yeah. Well, or we may end up seeing, because I know that they've rehired most of the staff from Clone Wars.
Right.
Almost all of the
production staff is still there.
Yeah, almost all of the production staff and like half the writing team.
Yeah.
So I imagine that we'll probably end up seeing a lot of Clone Wars-like writing and themes going on, just with. So I'm interested to see what happens to Ahsoka, honestly.
Yeah, because Filoni has said that it's a possibility that she'll turn up here and there.
That'd be good. Nice to close out that story.
I am interested to see, because in theory this could be, it could just pick up where Clone Wars left off thematically, so it could be like probably the darkest show that Disney has aired in some time.
Yeah, it really needs to go dark, because the way I picture it, the rise of the Empire, it just needs to get really dark and just really,
It's about hunting down the Jedi. That's like the only plot thing that they've mentioned.
Yeah, and I mean, there has to be other things, like not only like Jedis, but like people like, the
Rebellion.
Does anybody else appreciate the irony that we're going to be watching the rise of a fascist empire on the Disney Channel? It's like, hey kids, here's your introduction to fascism.
Da-da-da, it's a primer on fascism.
Yes.
What'll be scary is if we end up with a whole bunch of Imperial sympathizers.
Yeah.
It's almost like we could end up with some number like 10,000 of them or something marching around in costume.
I know. Be like stormtroopers.
That's a joke. We love the
Boba Fetts and all those Boba Fetts everywhere.
And Boba Fetts.
Everybody bobbly-headed fits.
Selling out their friends.
Man, I love them bobbly-headed fits.
Have they announced anybody for, like, voices of Rebels?
I don't know. I've seen a few voice actors that I honestly don't recognize. You know, posting on Twitter and stuff, just saying that they finished some recordings. But again, that's nothing that I can, like, confirm or verify or even report on, because I honestly don't remember.
Because IMDb has a lot of rumored voices.
Right.
Yeah. Like, they got Billy Dee Williams and Tim Curry on here for rumors.
Yeah, and Freddie Prinze
Tim
Jr.
Tim Curry, huh?
Yeah.
Ah, yes.
I mean, Billy Dee Williams, right. Not that much of a shock. He would do it.
Dr. Frankenfurter himself.
Well, he's actually more known for his voice acting.
Oh, wasn't he on Clone Wars?
Yes, he was in Clone Wars. I can always pick him out every time I hear him talking, because he has that voice. But you can always pick him out. He's always... he was Nigel Thornberry.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
you can,
he's been everybody.
You can tell a lot about a man from what Tim Curry movie he remembers first.
And see, I automatically go to Dr. Frankenfurter, so... Me? I got problems.
Me, it's me the too. Hunt for Red October, to be honest with you.
Oh, yeah, he was in Hunt for Red October
as
well.
He was the doctor who did nothing.
Well, he complained. He did complain.
He did complain.
For me, I don't know any Tim Curry movies, so I'm a terrible person, I guess.
What? You see Fern Gully, right?
You don't know It?
Clue?
No.
At least Clue?
Clue. Oh, was he in Clue?
Yeah, he's in Clue. He's probably... He's,
okay.
He's Mr. Body.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I love Clue. So.
Well, there you go.
The other rumored people are, like, Steven Stanton for, like, Admiral Tarkin, which I'd understand that because he was in the Clone Wars.
He's already been Admiral Tarkin, so why not?
Yeah. And then rumored for Darth Vader is Matt Sloan, who did Chad Vader on YouTube.
Oh, dude, no, Matt.
That would be awesome.
Vader in everything recently.
I'd be fine with that.
I would totally be fine with it. He was Darth Vader in Force Unleashed games.
I can get behind that.
See, I would never. I don't know. Maybe just my point of view of him, seeing him as Chad Vader. I mean, he does the Vader voice amazing. It's just my point of view. It's just like, I don't know. It seems weird.
Hats off to the guy. I mean,
well, he's like Tom Spanos in that respect. He's so good at being a fan that they're like, here, be the real thing.
Don't see a problem.
Nope.
So maybe it'll be good, you know. Hopefully, you know, the, hey, we have a new droid. Well, maybe that's just, you know, the stuff they're putting out to make the kids happy. And who knows, we might actually get decent stories, I can hope. Because Clone Wars actually got better as it went along.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the first season or so is just, okay, kind of meh. But it picked up and kind of found its stride. So, you know, hoping for the best.
Yeah. I mean, I've bought every season of the Clone Wars, so somebody's doing something right somewhere.
Yep.
So I'm sure I will buy every season of Rebels when those come out. You hear that, Disney? I'm gonna buy your stuff.
Shame on you for making me buy your thing.
I don't make you more money.
You don't have to watch it, you just have to buy it.
Yep. All the money. And I'm okay with that.
In other awesome news, they have finally announced that they are actually, for real, going to be releasing a next-gen Star Wars Battlefront.
Battlefront!
Yay!
Next to X-Wing and TIE Fighter. That's the one game we all wanted again.
Yep.
Yeah, we also want Republic Commando, but that's probably never going to happen.
Probably not, but I'll be happy with Battlefront. I'll shoot people
absolutely.
And again and again.
Like, honestly, I would never complete the campaigns. I would just go to instant action and just see how many kills I can get. I don't know if that's normal gamering.
I did both.
It's pretty normal.
I did both, but just because I've had the time. Between Battlefront 2 and now, I've had some time to do that. And they are just calling it Battlefront, right? They're not adding a
I don't think it's going to be 3. It's just Battlefront.
Yeah. Reboot! Have they announced what systems they're doing it on? Is it just going to be next gen?
I hope PS2.
Should just do a super backward release. skip the PS3 entirely and just do PS4 and PS2.
Yeah.
I'm just going to break out my PS1 as soon as this comes out. I can't wait.
In hopes that it works. It's like an Xbox One, but you're like, it's going to work for the PS1.
Had that thing since 1996. It better work.
No release date has been announced, but they've indicated not. Q2, Q3 of 2015, ironically, when Episode 7's coming out.
Huh. It's almost like...
they planned it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Those clever marketing people.
Yep. Yeah, I think a lot of stuff's going to happen right around Episode 7. So I think we all need to save our money, even though probably most of our money will be going to Star Wars Anaheim.
Yeah.
Or C7 for all you purists out there.
See, it is...
I mean, I'm a purist. I'm not going to lie.
On the one hand, I've noticed that it is kind of a shame that they're not releasing the movie at the same time as C7. But then again, cramming...
that would be a stupid thing.
Yeah, cramming 30,000 people into the 8 local theaters would just be death.
Yeah. I would die, but I would like doing it.
Oh, yeah. I can just see that. It's like,
does that say something about us?
What, that you would sort of want to see a headline, 10,000 costumed Star Wars fans die attending premiere?
Yeah. I think that does say something bad about me.
I'm gonna go over here now, later, guys. I wonder if, like, which comes first, Celebration or the movie release? I can't remember. I think it would be Celebration.
Celebration.
Right? I wonder if they're going to be like, hey, for the first 100 people in the door, you get Episode 7. But then, yet again, there'll probably be a lot of
piracy.
Imagine
the degree of murder.
I'm guaranteed they'll be showing trailers and maybe a scene or two, some kind of teaser. Just guaranteed they will be.
Just to annoy us.
Yeah.
I just hope it doesn't suck.
About that.
Well, we all hope it's not going to suck. It might.
Did you ever see Episode 1?
I've
seen Episode 1, and I've seen Star Trek Into Reference. So, a little worried.
It's like the fanboys right at the end. He's like, hey, guys, what if this sucks?
What if this sucks? Yeah. I'm kind of leaning towards suck right now. Yeah, I've been burned before. We'll see. I'm again hoping for the best, preparing for the worst.
They need to do a Fanboys 2 for Episode 7. Just saying.
They might. They've got time.
But what would they do? Just give Kristen Stewart cancer this time? I mean, that's not much of a plot.
they kind of had like this idea for the plot of Fanboys 2 being they wanted to sneak on set for Attack of the Clones.
Okay.
That's what I read somewhere, but I mean, it was on the internet, so I don't trust it, as always.
Sorry, am I interrupting anything?
Hello, ladies.
Welcome, I'm Lando Calrissian. I'm the administrator of this facility.
Look at your man. Now back to me. Now back at your man. Now back to me. Sadly, he isn't me.
Lando Calrissian.
But if he stopped using lady-scented body wash and switched to Old Spice, he could smell like he's me. Look down. Back up. Where are you? You're on a boat.
Would you join me for a little refreshment?
With the man your man could smell like. What's in your hand? Back at me. I have it.
Hello, what have we here?
It's an oyster with two tickets to that thing you love.
Everyone's invited, of course.
Look again. The tickets are now diamond. Anything is possible when your man smells like Old Spice and not a lady. I'm on a horse.
This month we have several very good questions from the Facebook page.
Facebook questions!
So... very first one we got is from somebody named Rick Carman, whoever you are. I bet you have a Mando name, but I don't know. What is the best way to attach boot armor to your boots to cover the laces?
That depends on whether or not you want to use the boots for anything else ever again.
Yes. If you don't, well, then you should just bolt those things down. Yep. You can put grommets right on into those boots and you'll be good to go.
If you're lucky, you can even get at least a couple of the bolts through the eyelets that are holding on your laces, if it has laces. So just simple there.
Yep. Preferably have boots without laces.
Yes, yeah. Alternatively have boots without laces. Now, the other thing is, of course, if you do want to be able to use the boots for other things or you know, as you're boots. Like me, just really hate to put holes in boots. you can make boot covers essentially for them. Boba Fett actually has them, but
the spats.
Well, sort of spats, but the problem with spats is that you end up having to bring them up the shin a little bit in order to get them to hold into place. At which point, they're less spats and more boot covers. But there's patterns out there for the World War One British military spats, which are boot covers, not spats. You can modify that real easy to just extend a tongue down, and you can just put two bolts through the back of that, and you're good to go, and throw an elastic strap around the bottom of your boot armor, and you're good to go. I actually, for years, I had plastic little Django-looking things that you would, the little boot armor things that you would put on, and I had them attached by one relatively thick elastic strap at an angle that just held them against the arch of my heel.
Mm-hmm.
And that worked fine for years. So,
if the shape of your boot and the shape of your armor fits it, that is definitely the way to go.
Yeah, that is super easy, and you can take them off to repair them or replace them or whatever. But there's like 100 million different ways of doing it, basically. And honestly, you just got to think about how much wear and weight are you going to have on your boot armor? Because there's some people who have these giant mega plates and like six plates on their boot. And then Mandalore. And then there's people who just have like one, like Jango Fett, where you can just do it with the strap. It really depends on your boots, basically.
Yeah, because if you are trying to cover up laces, one thing that I did for a brief period before I just switched to some straight-up leather spats was they come in like picture-hanging kits, you know, the little like curved metal hook, and I just epoxied some of those onto the back of the armor in such a way that I could just hook them into the laces, and the tension of the laces just being tied like normal held everything right in place. But again, that only works if you have laces.
Yeah, mine work by a couple leather spats that are custom made with Velcro on top to hold the armor down.
Mm-hmm.
And that's on top of my Gigantor Kiss boots.
And we have another question from James Sabri. Actually, this is a question that's probably good for me. What is the best way to make or use a sword, knife, or other bladed weapons but make them look less Earth-like? Because too many Star Wars characters are drawn in the comics that actually have them look like they have a regular Earth survival knife, and so on, three dots. My experience, and I make a lot of swords, like that's what I do mostly, is make swords. And in my experience, the best way is to include vibro housings on your weapons, which is just as easy as going to Home Depot and getting some channel stock and cutting it to size and then mounting it on the thing and just gluing it down. Rivets is good.
Yep.
As are putting holes that shouldn't be there in the blade, like things that
a la Star Wars galaxies.
Yeah, like if there's a hole that looks like it's some sort of weight saving mechanic, but looks like it would also structurally weaken the blade, feel free to do that.
Yeah,
because we're not caring about actual structural integrity; we're caring about making it look really cool.
And as for one thing I've noticed, as for like a lot of people's designs of stuff, like, if I know you're trying to avoid earthy stuff, but there's a reason why a lot of swords and knives, no matter where they came from on the planet, all look sort of similar, is because, I mean, there are only so many ways you can make a point you can actually stab somebody with.
Yep.
I mean,
it's like you're speaking from experience on that.
Yeah, it's a universal design.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, another thing that you should do is, if you are going to make a sword, please avoid using plastics. In the actual, like, in Star Wars, almost all of their, in the original movies anyway, almost all of the gear, metal and other, or all of the props was done made out of metal and wood. So now, it can be made out of plastic. I don't care what you make it out of. But make sure that once you are done and you've finished painting and you've finished making your design look the way you want it to be, make sure that it looks like it is made of metal and wood, even if it's not. Because, I mean, just look at the EE3. Or the Tantel Vibroax. The Tantel Vibroax is like painted up to look completely like it's made out of metal, and it's got all this metal weathering damage. It's made out of like a hairdryer and like a pole.
Yeah, mine's the blade on mine is made out of laminated Sentra.
Yeah, exactly. But he painted it up to look like metal. Actually, you painted it up to look like the Tantel one, didn't you?
I've got two of them. I've got the two bladed and the single blade, but yeah, they're all weathered to look like metal.
Yeah,
no, they're just made out of, you know, PVC foam.
Yeah. Now, when I do mine, I personally make them out of metal, which I'm not allowed to, according to the regulation, recommend to people because we don't know what your conventions will let you get away with.
Most conventions won't let you.
Yeah. Well, I've never once had a problem with them, but again, that's me. I know what I'm doing. So
Star Wars Celebration last year, they were checking them on the way in the door to make sure. They had a hard time with my axe because I had to convince them that this is made of plastic. Here, knock on it a little bit, you know, pound on it.
Stick a magnet on it. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is weird because they let me in with my gun and claws.
Well, they were very, very hit or miss at C6.
Yeah. Yeah, like my claws are probably more dangerous than they should be because I've got points on each finger, and those, like, I have accidentally drawn blood on myself with them before.
And all my plates are steel. They're actually more dangerous than anything I carry.
Yeah. And I mean, but you know what? That's okay. It doesn't matter.
Oh, yeah. Again, I didn't want to point that out to the nice lady. It's like, just let me in the door.
Back to the question.
Back to the question. Yes.
Additionally, a lot of people like to put blinky, glowy lights and wires and stuff. My advice is don't put anything on your weapon that's going to make it rattle.
Yeah.
Because
a good sword doesn't rattle.
Yeah, it sounds chintzy and cheap. So if you're willing to put electronics on and then fill in the entire vacuous space with hot glue, feel free to do that. But just make sure that whatever you do, it doesn't rattle. Because I know it sounds a little weird, but in addition to having a costume that looks good, you have to be able to move in it in such a way that it looks good.
And if you're afraid of your sword breaking all the time, you're not going to move good.
Yeah, exactly. And if you're all going, it's the downfall of like all cloud cosplayers because it's so impossible to make a sword that works. But that looks like the Buster sword. They are always sitting there gingerly trying to make sure their foam swords don't explode. Don't be that. Make something that will look good, will stand up to at least get knocked around a little bit. Honestly, simplicity is all right. Star Wars is a setting in which everything is big, old 1970s switches and toggles. So you're okay to have something that looks simple. Just try having a simple design. It doesn't have to have 900 million little facets. It doesn't have to look organic or whatever like they've started doing with the lightsabers. Just
if it
something
looks like
nice.
It came out of World War II,
perfect.
You're awesome.
Looks like World War II or Korea or your basement and you scraped a bunch of rust off it. Like that is how things in Star Wars look.
Yeah, Teddy Roosevelt might have owned it. Hey, you're good.
Yeah, and I mean, don't be afraid of going with functional pieces too. Like, there is such a thing as like they're gonna have like vibro cutlasses and stuff like that. But if your Mando is a sniper and your entrenchment tool is a machete, if you're part of the sniper brigade, don't be afraid of just having, you know, something that looks like a garden variety legit machete. So long as it's not a legit machete, that's totally fine.
Yeah.
It's role appropriate. And honestly, like, if you are a sniper, you don't really want to have something going while you're sitting on your brush. You know, like, you want to just chop up your brush. So, I hope that answers your question. James Sabri.
Next question is, what will the next Peppercura pattern be?
That'll be Iron Man War Machine.
Yep, I believe that's what I've heard.
Just love this guy's name.
Manny Bothans, yeah.
Manny Bothans.
Yeah.
Well, Manny Bothans.
That whole question out. I don't think that's a serious question.
Well, Many Bothans died to bring us
shut up.
This plan.
Someone told me that a couple months ago, and I never heard that before. And I couldn't stop laughing. I was sitting in a Perkins, just let my head off.
But yes, it'll be Iron Man War Machine specifically.
Yep.
This one's a good one. Our next question is from Jacob Smith. What is an actual typical, or sorry, excuse me, what is an typical budget for making armor? What was your guys' budget, and what material did you use? In my case, actually, I probably spent about $120 on the vest, but my vest is actually like a coat. It's like a jacket, so you would probably spend no more than like $60. Then about $160 for the chest plates. I got mine as a birthday present, but for similar quality ones from the same maker, it'd be about $160. I got a gauntlet from a welder for about $90. And my helmet was about $150 back when MDSB was making their helmets. Plus all the soft parts, like another $150, plus $300 boots. So mine total was probably just shy of $1,000. That's also a relatively expensive kit.
Yeah, that's not exactly typical, but it's also not uncommon.
Yeah.
I think the number that we came up with for entry level, now if you're really good and you can build a lot of your own bits and pieces and hit all the thrift stores, you can do it for around $150 if you're really crafty. But normally you're looking about $300 to $400-ish.
Yeah.
It's just kind of the ballpark figure. Now, like the stuff I got now, it's I'm sitting well above $1,000 with all the bits and pieces.
All the carbon fiber.
Oh, if you want, well, if you want to count the spy plane parts, probably a little bit more. But no, it's and that's not counting the actual plates themselves, because I traded a painting for those from Tom, so. You know, that's what, like a $700 commission normally?
Something like that, yeah.
So,
well, if he was doing a full set, I think he would charge something a little more reasonable for just a set of chest plates.
Okay, well, this is head to toe. So.
Oh, was it really? Oh, never mind. Yeah, $700.
Yeah, so it's about $700. Again, I traded for that, but still, if you were to add all that together, you could be pushing $2,000 easy.
Yep. And you've got a good kit.
And God knows what, you know, if, again, now Tom's kit would be like the upper end, but again, he makes the plates himself.
Yeah, well, and he drops like, he dropped probably $1,500, $2,000 into each helmet he's worn since, like, 2009.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I went back and I tallied up all of the expenses I had made over all of the versions of Frost, who's 10 years old this way, by the way, guys. 10 years old this year.
Nice.
Yeah, my costume is old enough to be in the fifth grade. So I cried a little inside because I could have probably bought a car. But basement entry level, your big expenses are going to be like your helmet and your guns.
Yeah, mine.
You know, getting someone to build your vest, and it depends on whether or not you get someone to form your plates for you, or if you just do it yourself out of a, you know, batch of Sentra.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I lucked out.
What were you saying?
I lucked out, and I'm just crafty enough to do almost everything on my own. Like, the one thing that I tried and failed to do on my own that I just bought a replacement for was the helmet. Like, I mean, I did the terrible scratch build that everybody's tried at least once. And eventually, like, I'm up to my current helmet, which is just a B-pole DSB. That was probably the single most expensive element of my current armor. But the rest of my stuff was just cost of materials overall. You know, just many, many trips to fabric stores and Home Depot for steel plates and Rubbermaid totes and fabric for the vest and all that sort of stuff. So mine, if I were to really total it up, including the helmet, I've probably got maybe $200 into my current set, somewhere around there. So, I mean, I'm definitely on the cheaper side of things, but again, I had to do a lot of my stuff on my own with borrowed tools or, you know, hand-me-down tools or, you know, just buying my own. Like, if you don't count buying stuff so you can make your stuff, that's where the cost trade-off is.
Yeah, it's that saying, good, fast, or cheap.
Yeah.
Pick two.
Yeah.
Yeah, they lied. Pick one. Something good is never fast or cheap. Sorry, guys.
No.
Yeah, I think the single most expensive thing I have is the one I never use, and that's I think it's a Man of War jetpack.
Mm-hmm.
I never wear the thing, and that was, God, like $300 or more.
It's because those things are awful to wear, though.
Yeah, it is absolutely awful. It looks great, but I hate wearing it. So it just kind of sits under the bed. And, you know, people come over and ask, "What the hell is that?" And it's like, "Well, don't you have your own jetpack?" What?
That's when you just tell them that your backpack's got jets.
That's right. And I've used that line on more than one occasion.
Please tell me you've used it on one.
Yes, I have.
Oh, yes.
I just tallied up the numbers on mine.
Oh, God.
$40 for duck cloth for the vest. $80 for the helmet. This one might seem really weird, but I never realized this would happen. $100 for paint, because you have to go back and buy paint cleaning it. Yeah.
Spend more on paint than you realize.
Oh, yeah.
$50 on Velcro, $40 on glue, $20 on one gauntlet, belt was $32, and fabric for the girth belt was $15. With a grand total of around $377, but being a Mandalorian, priceless.
That's right.
But yeah, the budget, yeah, your budget's really, yeah, it's always the pick one thing, but I mean, your budget's pretty much what you want to do with your armor. Like, I mean, on the one hand, if you want someone like Tom, the Mandalore, to craft your armor for you, I mean, it'll be a set that'll last longer than you will. But you will pay out the nose for it.
Yeah. Well, and part of that is also to make sure that he can actually dissuade thousands of people from asking him for armor.
But, I mean, we have
there's
a whole...
There's a lot of work. It's worth every penny.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, we have a bunch of people who can do work like that and do sell, you know, handcrafted, hand-smithed armor, if you will. And then, you know, especially any sort of soft part. I mean, we got 24 people who just do vests, you know.
I got away with cheat because my fellow clan member and friend for like 10 years, Rotho Valmus, who just got official again, welcome back, sir. He just gave me a lot of stuff, you know, like he gave me Wookiee braids, he gave me a Republic Commando backplate, he gave me shoulder bells, he gave me like Sentra. Like, I never had to buy Sentra because he always had it. So I was really lucky to keep it cheap because a lot of stuff was just given to me, and I would feel so bad. It's like, you don't have to give me this stuff, and he'd just be like, I'm not using it, just take it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've never bought Sentra because either I've had clan members who were, you know, like you, who just had some laying around they were willing to let me use, or I've visited very friendly sign shops.
Yeah, something to keep in mind, too, is that, you know, it's all kind of exponential in that, you know, my first kit in 2007 was maybe $200. And then the second one in, I'm sorry, 2008. But then you go to 2009, I think I spent maybe $300 to get it done. And then it builds on top of that. But your first kit to get in the door is probably going to be in that, you know, $300 to $400 range.
Yeah. Well, it depends on what you do for your helmet mostly. Because if you're running with a Sentra kit and you're running with a pretty standard bodysuit, like you just buy a flight suit from somewhere and standard military combat boots, it's mostly going to be your helmet. If you want to invest in a helmet, that's good. You're going to pay $150 for it minimum.
Yeah.
Right.
If you're going to go with a cheaper, like a Ruby's two-piece, those helmets are good after you've put a lot of work into them. But
got enough of those lying around.
Yeah, but they're like $40. But you're going to put
25.
You got yours for 20. Oh, the new generation. Yeah, that's right. The new generation of them are cheaper.
Yeah, they're about 25, and then, I mean, you are going to put 15, 20 bucks of Bondo and fiberglass into them.
Yeah, well, the newer ones are actually thinner than the older ones, because I have two of the newer ones sitting in my garage that somebody is having me work on, and I was comparing them to my old one from 2004, which was one of the first gen ones, the ones that they made with Attack of the Clones.
Tell us about it, Grandpa.
I know, right? and they're almost twice as thick.
Well, that's saying something, because they weren't originally that thick.
Yeah. And so the newer ones are a little bit thinner, so you're probably actually going to need to go ahead and, like he was saying, you're going to want to probably fiberglass them and everything.
Yeah.
At which point, you're probably looking at a minimum of $80. So
just go ahead and buy a helmet, get it over with.
Yeah, I mean, you can get resin helmets for like $100, $120. They're not going to be fantastic, but they'll be all right. They'll be better than...
The one I have right now is a B pull, and I think it was right at like 120.
Yeah, well, those are the DSB B pulls, but those are like a special thing. I meant like if you're going to find one in a vendor, it's going to be like 100. The garden
150
variety
is the ballpark.
Yeah, 150 is about what you get charged. Some helmets are a little more expensive, like if they're custom or have a lot of detail, like the enemy prop stalker. Those will be a little more expensive.
Honestly, one of the biggest problems with buying a helmet is just going to be the shipping. Because, you know,
and the shipping's going to be like $20.
Yeah.
But helmets are your big first-time expense. But honestly, it really... So long as you're not going to chop into it too hard, a helmet is really the thing you want to invest in really hard.
Mm-hmm.
Because... If you do it right, you'll only ever have to buy that helmet once, or at least once for 5 years. And $30 a year isn't that bad.
No.
The one piece of advice that everybody needs to realize coming into this is that you don't make a kit and say done.
No.
It's a work in progress all the time. You know, because you're wearing. To me, it's like I'm wearing a piece of art, you know, because I am surprised I crafted something this good, you know, with the painting and all that stuff, and I'm proud of it, and you want to keep up on it and change stuff. And so, I mean, for all you members that are looking at, you know, trying to get a kit together, go to Evolution of a Kit in the lounge and look at how people have changed over the years. It's, you're never going to be, quote unquote, done with your armor.
Never.
Yeah. Even, and this is always something that I always laugh about. I remember Andalor the Unit, Mandalore the Uniter, for those of you not in on the joke, told me in about 2011, he's all like, you know what? I think I'm actually getting towards a pretty good place. I feel like this is going to probably be the final version of this, this kit. And I sort of patted him on the shoulder and I'm like, that's great, Tom. The next year he got a new helmet.
Yep.
The year after that he got a whole new set of armor, and then new boots, and then new boot plates, and then a new jetpack, which he then got rid of and got another new jetpack.
And then Bluetooth in the helmet.
Bluetooth in the helmet, with an app for it. And now he's getting a totally new helmet, and new chest armor, so that he can match his craft from the Bounty Hunter code. It's endless. You guys signed on for something fierce, and it's going to be a big part of your life forever.
Yeah, it's wearable sculpture. You're wearing a sculpture, and you're going to wear parts out, and you're going to be dissatisfied, and it's never, ever, never going to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And what's great about like the Mandalorian kit is that you can go anywhere with it. Like Stormtrooper, you are very limited because it's basically it's upkeep. You, if for a stormtrooper, you have to have white armor. But like You can go from red to green to blue to orange to anything you want.
Hey, you can have either green lenses or smoke lenses, all right?
Oh, yeah. That's far as customization. But, you know, it's like you can have a cape, you can have a jetpack, you can have just a backpack.
Sandtrooper or Stormtrooper.
There's a lot of customization in the Mandalorian mercs, and that's what makes it great, you know. And it's like right now I'm going through getting new paint scheme going on because I loved my old stuff, but I was bored with it. And it's like I want to update it. That means more money I have to spend, but it's for the better, you know.
Screw it, I want it.
Yeah, it's like a springtime. Spring and summer, when that's coming around, where you can get outside and like paint stuff, and the paint will actually dry, we're usually pretty busy. It's like, what can I do now?
Oh, I'm painting today, and it's like -4 outside.
Better man than I, sir.
Yeah.
It's like, ooh, I've decided I need new gauntlets. Why? Because I want new gauntlets.
That's what I did all day today. I just spent tearing apart my right gauntlet because I was bored with it and stuff's falling off, and just covering it with darts.
Nice. Because you can.
Exactly.
Have you ever seen the gauntlet that Soren Dydrick did with just the, like, 30 hypervelocity rockets on it?
No. Nope. That sounds awesome.
It's really cool. Let me go look it up. Hold on.
Yeah.
Anyways, sorry. Didn't mean to derail.
No, that's fine.
Okay.
Like,
because we're just. But as you can hear, obviously, like we have done this such that we just sit there and nerd out over all of the cool things that people do to their costumes, and it goes on forever. Okay. So.
Something we talk about in apps, and it came up again today, and it comes up from time to time, is there's always someone who wants to, well, let's think outside the box, and, you know, that whole popular saying that everybody throws around, but they don't really know what it means. So you get helmets come in that they're just not Mandalorian-looking in any way, shape, or form. You know, there's no T-visor, but they're trying to get it through. It's like, no, our job is to think inside the box. And it's a really big box. We're not asking a lot. It's, do you have a T-visor? Does it kind of look like Boba Fett? You know, there's a lot of leeway in there. Just, we have so many templates available. You can do almost anything as long as it kind of sort of looks like Boba Fett. And then you can get all into all the other eras and really go nuts with it.
Yeah. Suffice to say, there's plenty for you guys to do with what you have.
$400. Go get $400. That's a good round number.
Yeah. The short long answer is between $200 to $400.
Yes. Or and sky's the limit.
Yeah. And also then there are some of us who are just nuts.
Yeah.
Yes, we have problems.
Yeah. Don't be like us. Don't be like us. Which is why we're here. We're here to give you the benefit of our experience so that you guys can make our stupid mistakes.
And our failures.
Yep.
And our failures, most notably.
If you want to talk about mistakes and failures, I think I am the champion of that.
I have wasted more money on things that didn't pan out than I really want to talk about. It was a good idea at the time. There's $50 I'll never have back.
Oh, yeah, I do that. I've started bringing my, to our local conventions where our clan has a table, I bring my terrible scratch helmet, you know, and I'll mention it at our Q&A panels and stuff, and the one thing that half the people come back to the table and ask is, okay, can I see this crap helmet of yours? And I pull it out, and they're like, oh my god, you went from that to that? Dude.
I remember your crap helmet.
Oh, it's terrible.
The worst.
No, it is bad. And I feel ashamed now, but at the same time, I'm glad I did it. Because, again, I can tell all of you not to do it.
That's right. Learn from our failures. We all have many. Let's see. Next.
Next question from Jacob Aganoy, who coincidentally is the dude who's been doing all those minimalistic pictures of everybody's helmets that everybody's been using as forum avatars. I'm waiting for him to do mine.
He asked me for picks. Now I know who to send them to.
His question is, with the incidents of people in costume being assaulted occurring last year, has there been times when something like that happened to a fellow merc? And in all honesty, I don't know of anybody assaulting a Mando merc while they're in costume at a convention or on the street or anything. Part of that is just our appearance. I mean, a lot of us, like, take Frost, for example. Like, you wouldn't want to tackle him or anything just because he's pointy. Like,
yeah,
even...
And 6'3".
Yeah, but, like, even just a drunk guy is going to look at that, and even if he wants to pick a fight, he'll say, no, not that guy. A lot of us also have the advantages of traveling in groups most of the time, so that also always helps. But there was actually, I met up with a guy who was attacked outside a free comic book day thing, him and a Ghostbuster. The dude was, a friend of mine was dressed up as a sand trooper, and this just drunk dude just walked up and just decked the Ghostbuster and, started wrestling with the sand trooper, and eventually people pulled him off, and they were really not that far from the local police department, so, you know, the authorities were called in very quickly to defuse the situation. And I ended up meeting this guy at a convention a couple months later, and he was just like, I don't know what happened. I was just doing my thing, and the guy came up and punched us. So, I mean, it is definitely something to worry about, and it is something that we're all of us always looking out for and watching for. But in all honesty, if it's something you're worried about, there are a couple simple things you can do to avoid it. Namely, stay in a group. Like, the bigger, the better. Because you might get someone trying to heckle you, but if then they have 7 people in armor staring them down, they're not going to do anything else.
Carrying big, pointy sticks.
Yeah. I mean, they may all be props, but, I mean, push comes to shove. I'm going to smack somebody with something.
PVC still hurts.
Yeah, no. The thing is, and we cannot recommend this, and honestly, you should never engage in a physical confrontation with anybody who is costuming.
Ever.
Or who is, even if, any, correction, you should never engage in a physical confrontation with someone when you are costuming. It is not something you should do. It will reflect badly on us and everybody else.
Yeah.
Something you should remember is that, regardless of what they're trying to do to you, to assault you, if you're in your Mando costume, our costumes are made out of metal. Like, they're made out of metal and plastic and all sorts of other stuff.
They're probably going to hurt their hands.
Yeah, and we're wearing, like, 3 layers of cloth. So you're probably going to be all right. And if push comes to shove, you can wallop somebody really hard with something. Like, but
you probably won't have to.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have only ever gotten heckled like twice by drunk people when in costume, and it was never an issue because you ignore them.
Yeah.
Or you pretend you don't hear them because they can't see your face because you're wearing a Mando helmet.
Yeah.
At which point they leave you alone, or maybe they grab your shoulder, you turn around and they're like, can we get a picture?
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, even though you're drunk and I don't like you.
You can try and placate people, you know, it's like maybe just go along with what they're doing, they won't bother you anymore, they'll forget. And a lot of the times if you are somewhere at like a convention or, you know, at a downtown event, if your local area does that sort of thing, there's usually some kind of security or police around. Use them. Like, if anybody's giving you any trouble, you can just walk up to an officer and say, hey, this guy's causing trouble.
And additionally... If you're wearing your gear, you're probably in a populated area.
Yeah.
So that the guys, if you're getting in trouble in a convention,
you got backup.
All you have to do is say, just say it really loudly. Hey, back off! Immediately, everybody turns to look at you, and then you just do you act placating towards this person, and then regardless of what happens, they're not going to kill you, and you are going to be in the legal high ground. So at the worst, you could make a lot of money.
Yeah.
I mean, so I feel like we've answered that question pretty handily.
Yeah, that was pretty well answered. So don't worry about it too much. It's not likely to happen.
I was assaulted by 5 years old.
Yeah, and additionally, if you don't like getting assaulted, don't do birthday parties.
Yeah, you will get hit.
They always have toy lightsabers, so.
And yeah, and you got to remember, especially if you're a dude, their swing range is really knee to waist height.
Even if you wear plastic armor, wear a steel codpiece.
Codpiece is your friend.
And next question, or actually, well, two questions, because these next two are very, very interlinked, I guess.
They're related.
Chris Strong first asks, in each of your opinions, what would be considered the most important thing when forming a new clan / squad? And Garrett Taylor asks, when you form a clan / squad, what is the limit of people, if there even is one?
I'm going to go with leadership.
Yeah.
I mean, getting someone in that role, in the top three spots that actually are active, want it to grow, are just, you know, positive people that make things happen. Because we've seen what happens, and I've seen this happen, when you get people in the roles that just aren't up to it. And things can fall apart. But if you've got, you know, decent leadership that can bring people into the group, you're just going to grow. That's just my opinion of it.
And in my case, it's you need to look at geography too, because when our clan formed, there was like, we had five people, which is what a clan is, five or plus, but we were so far away and we didn't have any like community with us. We were just a group of people. And I felt like bit by bit people were, you know, slowly falling away, or, you know, there'd be people that retire, there'd be people that move away. And like, you know, it was, you have to look at your geography and you have to look at how strong these people are. I mean, like, I'm not saying like they're, you know, all of us are, you know, I'm just saying, don't take it the wrong way, but like, you have to see how committed they are, you know, because there are some people that are like all into it and then all of a sudden they're just like, I don't know about this anymore.
Yeah,
but you have to see their commitment level, because we went from 5 to 6 back to 5 to 6 back to 5, 4, 3 down to 2, and now we're back to 3. So we had a really hard time with numbers here in the Vet Manda clan, which is Iowa. And now we have some new potentials coming in, and we're trying for this community thing. Instead of being a group of guys wearing costumes, I'm shooting for that friends, you know. So you just, yeah, you got to make sure there's a community there, so there's something more to it that is offered than just a group of guys in costumes, you know.
Yeah. And one good way of doing that anyway that I've seen that Tom pulls off is just have events. Like, there's a lot of people who are in clans who see their clans when they go to events, like when they go to conventions or they go to a parade or whatever. And sometimes it's good to just have events that are not, they're tangential to that, like Armor Party Days. Talon Clan has one every month ish.
Those are great for clan building, just in general, because yep, if you get a couple perspectives that are sort of on the fence, and especially because then you can also help them make a good set of armor to get them in faster, they'll pop right on board with you.
Yeah. Yep. And then additionally, sometimes it's good to have non-armored events too, like in a
just
Talon Clan.
Just have lunch.
Yeah.
Just do something.
In Talon Clan, we have we get together on Christmas. Well, not necessarily on Christmas. It's usually in December sometime.
Some kind of Christmas party,
yeah. Yeah, it's in December towards the tail end. But it is the Talon Clan Christmas party, and people show up and, you know, bring confections and, you know, all that jazz. And we get together and we're like, you're all cool people and I like all of you. And that's what it takes to build a successful clan. It's not just, you know, a super tight cadre of five guys, because eventually you guys will drift away from it. And it's not it's not just a group of five dudes who don't know each other. It's a group of five people who get together and do Mando things.
Yeah.
So the one thing I've been trying to do with this new group of people is have armor parties every month, which we have been doing. because it helps with community. And we also did a little Christmas social in December out in at one of our potentials place. It was like 2.5 hour drive, really boring drive, but this potential guy has been driving to where I'm at, so I feel really bad he has to do that boring drive every single month. So I had it was out of common courtesy that I had to go, because it was just, you know, you can't, you know, expect everybody to come to you. As a clan leader that I am, I feel like I should do, you know, I should go to other people and, you know, get around.
That's fair.
Yeah, Wampa, we try, because we're pretty much, we're split up in three sections of the state. Like, there's, where, like, Bio and I live, we're sort of north, central, middle of the woods. Then we got a, Jarek Dar, our Allered, he's down around the state capital. And then we got a couple guys who are way down south near New Hampshire. So we try and split it up between, you know, the three areas. We try and alternate as much as we can, just to keep it even for people. But honestly, yeah, armor parties are probably where you're going to have the most fun, just with Mandalorians in general. Like, second most favorite time is just grabbing lunch after a troop or something, you know?
Yep.
You go and you do a library event, and then you just go to Denny's and just talk for an hour.
Denny's.
We don't have a Denny's.
Oh, I'm going to say Denny's. Personally, I hate Denny's. I just can't. It doesn't do anything good to your body.
Everybody knows what a Denny's is. They have a frame of reference.
Yeah. I mean, it's either that or McDonald's, but whatever. Point is, I mean, that's, you're going to have fun with people when you're wearing your costumes, but being able to have fun with this group of people just in your normal street clothes at a restaurant or a bar is just as good, just as important.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, most of the people I know in Mercs, when I'm talking to them, it's not about armor or even about Mercs. We're just talking.
Yep.
You know, just.
Well, and it's important to know your Mercs' real names. Like, if they're people you interact with on a daily or on a routine basis, they should not be. And you'll hear me say this all the time. It should not be Noval Talon or Mandalore the Uniter or whatever. And I sometimes do that on the show just so that, you know, people know who I'm talking about. But for me, he's Tom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he will always be that person.
Yeah.
The nerd names are fun and all, but I forget them. Yeah. I can't keep track of them. If I know your actual name, everything's fine. But I'm probably not going to remember the nerd name. I can barely remember my own.
Yeah, I'm stuck with Crow pretty much either way, because we have two Ians up here. So, yeah. And
Ian, Ina, and Crow.
Yeah, and I mean, to Bio's credit, he was here first. So it's also very important to pick a Mando name that you're going to like.
Yeah, for a long time.
No, well, not just a random name you pick when you sign up for a website that now you're known as. Like 6 years later, 5-6 years later.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and that's why you end up
just deal with it.
Named like Blue Skull or whatever.
Yep.
You know?
Someday I hope to be a real boy. I'm okay.
Yeah,
with
I actually
that.
Forgot one of my potential members' names. Like, it's like either his name is Mike or Ron, but found out his name was Rick, but I called him Micron, so maybe forgetting one of your potential members' name is, you know, fun and causes a nickname to come out of it. And that's what it gets called now. So maybe forgetting a name.
There's an advantage, yes. You just got to work with what you got.
Yeah. And to answer the second half of the question, is there a maximum? No, there is not. I mean, squad technically has a maximum of, what, 5? But then you just become a clan.
Yes.
Maximum size for a clan, like we were talking about before the show, is your state's population. So, I mean, if we're doing stuff right, Wampa could have 1 million people.
If you can handle the logistics, go for it.
Yeah.
We're imagining a world where the entire state of Maine they're all members of Mandalorian Mercs, like the entire state.
Yep.
And it's just this anomaly. And news, you know, outlets are just reporting on this one costume club who's taken over an entire state, and yep. no one can explain it.
Yep.
Nerds!
What a world to live in.
Now I'm just thinking of, like, my 70-something-year-old, very French-Canadian grandmother in armor.
People walking down the street in armor, just, you know, going about their business.
Going to the grocery store, going to the mail, to the post office.
Gotta go get a haircut, you know.
Give me something that looks good in a helmet.
Yep. Cuts down on helmet hair.
Yep. Just recruit everybody.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we have a new segment.
Right.
Tobias, take it away.
All right. It's a new year, a new segment. Welcome to Creed's Corner. With this being a new year, this is the time where you can make some New Year's resolutions. Back in 2011, I made a New Year's resolution to become an official member of the Mandalorian Mercs and to form the Iowa Clan. I was successful in both of those. So now's the time. It's, you know, you got all year to achieve that one goal and make yourself feel proud that you actually did something. And we're coming up on about member 900, so could that 900 number go to you? Only you could decide. The end.
The power yes. is yours.
Yes. Only you can prevent forest fires.
And knowing's half the battle.
Wrong franchise.
Well, that about does it for this month's episode of Kel Dobby Talk Radio. On behalf of myself, Tobias Creed, Frost Kamen, and Pinocchio, thank you for listening and tune in next month.
This has been a production of the Mandalorian Mercs Costume Club. If you'd like to learn more about the topics discussed on today's show, please visit www.mandalorianmercs.com. The Mandalorian Mercs is a worldwide Star Wars costuming organization comprised of and operated by Star Wars fans. Star Wars, its characters, costumes, and all associated items are intellectual property of Lucasfilm. Copyright 2009 Lucasfilm Limited. We hope you enjoyed our show, and we'd love to hear your feedback. Please email podcast@mercs.firespray.net. Until next time, happy hunting.
Yep. This is Frost Cannon, and it's good to see you all.
Peace!
I'm Thaxos. I am Spartacus.
Like, Tobias, Creed on Facebook.
Alright, have a good one, everybody.